don't think anybody can tell you when life begins. Human life begins.
We need a president who doesn't think that the protection of the unborn or a newly born baby is above his pay grade.
It is a cultural war as critical to the kind of nation we shall be as the Cold War itself. But this war is for the soul of America.
The pools of blood shed by modern atheism dwarf anything that religion can produce. And in fact, all the religions in the world put together haven't killed as many as atheist regimes have killed in about 10 years.
Well, he has us up early in the morning, crossing ourselves in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and then praying prayers. And then you do the same thing, almost exactly the same thing at night when you go to bed. In between, you're praying before the meal, you're praying after the meal. Luther had a rather regimented view of prayer. He considered it a Christian discipline, rightly understood. Discipline as in the way that disciples are following in their master's footsteps. We're going to be talking about the daily prayers that Luther recommends for the life, not only of the individual Christian, but the life of the Christian family as well. It's our Pastor's Roundtable this week. We are coming to you live this Thursday, September the 11th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. I'll introduce our roundtable here in just a moment as we talk about prayers. But you're also invited to join us with questions or comments on prayers, on the life of Christian prayer. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or email us with questions or comments, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Albert Mohler will be our guest after the Pastor's Roundtable, talking with him from his new book, Atheism Remix, about the new atheists. It's always a pleasure talking with Dr. Mohler. And then Dr. Christian Smith joins us for the latter part of the program. The religious and spiritual lives of Christian teenagers, well, not only Christian teenagers, American teenagers as well. We have these myths about American teenagers and their spirituality, that they're seekers, that they want nothing to do with the spirituality of their parents or their grandparents. Not true. Some real research to back that up. Christian Smith, author of the book Soul Searching, will be our guest in about an hour and a half here on Issues, Etc. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Joining us for our Pastor's Roundtable on this Thursday, Pastor Charles Lehman. He's a regular guest on the program, pastor at St. John's Lutheran Church in Accident, Maryland. Charles, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
It's great to be here.
Also here in studio, Pastor Mark Smith. He's pastor of Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood, Missouri. Pastor Smith, welcome back.
Great pleasure to be here, Todd.
A first-time guest here on the program, also in studio, Pastor Mark Buto is pastor of Bethel Lutheran Church in DuQuoin, Illinois. Thanks for driving all the way up here this afternoon.
You bet, Todd. My pleasure.
Okay, let's talk first about the discipline that is Christian prayer as Luther presents it for the Christian family. He has us praying morning, evening, in between prayers from books, written prayers. He says, say it this way, teach your children to say it this way, and don't vary from this to confuse them. Pastor Smith, you've been a pastor a long time. How would you respond to someone who says, Christian prayer ought to be spontaneous from the heart, not from a book, and you pray when you want, you don't pray at certain times during the day?
Well, I would say, you know, it can be from the heart, even though you may read it from a book. I know sometimes I need help in formulating my prayers. And read from a book, prayed spontaneously from the heart, it's still, both of them are very real possibilities.
So it's not a mutually exclusive thing, praying from a book, praying from the heart. Pastor Lehman, your thoughts there on what Luther presents as more or less a discipline of daily prayer.
Well, a lot of times you'll hear people refer to Jesus' words to the Pharisees about vain repetitions. But, you know, the Lord also gives us a prayer to pray. When the disciples ask him, Lord, teach us how to pray, he says, when you pray, say, Our Father. And he gives us the Lord's Prayer. And there actually can be a great comfort in praying a prayer that you're not having to come up with on the fly. You know, if you pray the Our Father, that you are praying all of those things that the Lord would have you pray, and that you are praying a prayer that is the very word of God. And I don't think that we would ever want to diminish those wonderful prayers that God gives us all through the scriptures just for the sake of some idea that spontaneity is better.
It begins in the morning, Luther says, when you get up, make the sign of the Holy Cross and say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Then, kneeling or standing, repeat the creed and the Lord's Prayer. If you choose, you may also say this little prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body, my soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. And then Luther says, then go joyfully to your work singing a hymn like that of the Ten Commandments or whatever your devotion may suggest. That's just before you ever walk out the door in the morning. Why does he begin with the sign of the cross in those words, in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit, Pastor Buteau?
There's the reminder that as soon as we awake in the morning, that we are God's dear and baptized children in Jesus Christ, the same name that he's put upon us at the Holy Font by water and the Word and the Spirit is the name that we begin the day with. It's once again recognizing that as we go off to work, to serve others, to do whatever it is in our daily callings, we go forth as God's children, redeemed in Jesus Christ.
Why is that important to remember baptism daily, Pastor Smith?
Oh, it's so important. You know, baptism is something that doesn't just take place long ago when we were infants, but we want to recall the promises of our baptism throughout the day. And so indeed, when we say in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we call to mind those promises that I'm God's dear, blood-bought, baptized child. And it's such a comfort to us. I know I have people tell me all the time, boy, you know, I never realized that baptism was so comforting and so important to keep in mind.
Pastor Laban, two things. What is the comfort of baptism that Luther is in earnest to for the Christian to remember every day? And then how does that kind of segue, for lack of a better word, into these prayers like the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and this prayer that begins the day?
Well, the great comfort in baptism is I think, maybe the most obvious part of it. And that is, in baptism, God's name is put on us with that physical element of water. And I like to think of that movie Toy Story when the moment that Woody is most disturbed is when the boy writes his name, Andy, on the bottom of Buzz Lightyear, because once he's put his name on Buzz, Buzz is his. He's important to him. He's his treasure. And the fact that God has put his name on us and that he has claimed us as his own, that gives us the context of all of the prayer that we ever do. We live our entire life from the moment we're baptized in the name of Jesus, which is why we close our prayers in the name of Jesus, because we are in the name of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus is all of the good things that Christ has promised to us in his word. And I think the place where the connection between the name and the joy of prayer becomes most clear is in those opening words of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father. It is only because of our baptism that we are privileged to call God our Father and can expect him to treat us as his beloved children.
I like to think of baptism as being like a lifeline through which God reaches all the way down through the centuries from the cross and from the empty tomb and applies all of these promises that he won for us at the cross and with the victory over Satan at the Easter tomb, reaches down through all those centuries of history and applies it individually to each and every one of us. That's what baptism is. It attaches all those promises that he won for us at the cross and at the empty tomb.
Does that explain, Pastor Buteau, why then we go on, or he instructs us to go on to say the Creed and the Lord's Prayer?
Absolutely. We just heard from Pastor Laban and Pastor Smith what a great thing God has done for us in Jesus Christ and delivered in our baptism, and then therefore we begin our day with the recognition that the same God who redeemed us is the same one we call upon to take care of us throughout the day and to bless us in all that we do for others and for his glory.
With only about 30 seconds here, Pastor Lehman, he says, if you choose, you may also say this little prayer, and he has this thing for the morning. What is the general, what does this little prayer say that the other prayers he's already instructed us to pray don't say, if anything?
Well, the answer would be nothing. But what it does do is it gets a little bit more specific. It thanks God that he has preserved you through the night, that he has answered the prayer that you prayed the previous night, which is very similar, that asks God to keep you safe through the night and to protect you from the evil one. And it also prays God's blessing on your daily work, on your service to your neighbor that you're going to do that day. It asks God to protect you from all evil, to keep you from sin, and to bless the work that you'll be doing that day. And so it begins the day with God's name, just as you end the day in God's name. And through it all, you are asking the Lord to keep his promises to you.
Pastor Charles Lehman is one of the pastors in our Pastor's Roundtable, pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in Accident, Maryland. Pastor Mark Smith and Pastor Mark Butte are here in studio with us. I want your questions and comments on daily prayers from Luther's Small Catechism. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, click promote, and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly, issuesetc.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Jill Killian, Kenneth Bush, Micah Temple, Jane Bino, Jeffrey Button, Bob and Heidi Lemke, Sarah, Steve Haxton, Victoria Killian, and Tabitha Cook. Thanks for your support.
Too Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is a team effort. Your phone calls, email, and snail mail help resurrect this worldwide outreach. Now we need your help to sustain Issues Etc. by making a gift to Lutheran Public Radio today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Help support Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the thinking Christian.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor's Roundtable, we're talking about prayers, in particular, the daily prayers from Luther's Small Catechism. Sometimes it's overlooked. I mean, I've known kids that have been instructed in the catechism. When you say, what's Luther's morning prayer? They'll say, what are you talking about? They get through the main stuff, but they don't realize that the catechism is intended to be prayed, not just the prayers, but also the whole catechism, the whole content of what Christians believe. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. You said something before the break, Pastor Lehman, that sparked a thought, and it's a quote, actually, from Dr. Heiko Obermann, who's a Reformation scholar. And he was speaking to an audience in a lecture, and he said this: "You do not live as Martin Luther lived life. You do not wake up in the morning as he did, nor do you go to bed at night as he did. You need to understand something about the changed conditions of belief. You do not understand that in the time of Martin Luther, almost every single human being in Western civilization woke up afraid that he would die before nightfall. Eternal destiny was a daily, hourly, minute-by-minute thought. Every night, as the late medieval or early Reformation human being closed his eyes, he feared that he would wake up either in heaven or in hell. You do not live with that fear. That's why Luther threw ink pots at the devil. You close your notebook and go to sleep at night." Is there an urgency that we don't get about this, "You kept me safe through the night, keep me safe through this day" from the evil one, Pastor Lehman?
Absolutely. And I think that this is a real clear sign of the arrogance of the modern age, where we really don't think that we're going to die today. And it's just as likely now, I would say, as it was in Luther's day. We've all seen car accidents. We've all seen people, you know, murdered, die of cancer. You know, I've had members who found out that they had terminal cancer and had maybe a week to live, you know, from the time that they even found out that they were sick. It's really no different for us than it was for them, but for some reason now we don't really believe that our life is in God's hands and that it is fragile and that we do need to pray that he would preserve it, even if the way that he preserves it is by taking us into the next life.
What a great day to actually think about that in September 11th. I mean, that's a good day. You know, 3,000 people who got up in the morning expecting to see their kids and families after work that day and didn't. Just a reminder, exactly what Pastor Lehman says, that, you know, we need to be prepared for death. And we are prepared by our baptism into Christ, and the way that Luther gives us prayers to pray morning and evening just keeps us in the comfort of God's grace.
Yeah, particularly when, you know, death can be, our life can be snuffed out so quickly on the expressway, on the highway. We don't often think of that. I mean, my kids kid me all the time when I say, "Hey, be careful, drive carefully." But really, it's a very real danger. It faces us all. It reminds us that we should be in prayer more regularly.
Okay, so there is a sense here that making it through the night safe and sound is really only due to God's protection, constant moment-by-moment protection and provision for the Christian, for the Christian child. These words, "For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things, let your holy angel be with me, that the evil one may have no power over me." There also seems to be a more imminent understanding of the work of Satan in the world, Pastor Smith.
Yeah, he's around. I was just talking about this in my Lifelight Bible class this morning, that the powers of the air, I mean, he's all around us. We usually think of Satan as, and he is in chains, but he carries his chains with us, and his demons are all about us. Thanks be to God, however, that his holy angels are with us all the time, too. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Kathy's on the line from St. Charles. Kathy, thank you for waiting. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes, I found it helpful to use the new hymnals on page 295. There's a morning devotion, and then they have that prayer that you spoke of. And then they have other prayers. They actually have an afternoon devotion, and then they have an early evening one, and then the close of the day. It's just I find helpful because the prayer's right there, and they have other prayers also in the hymnal and actually the small catechisms in there, and it just seems to be a good tool for me to use to help me, you know. And then there's I also like to get online because you can get a hymnal site, and you could you know, it encourages you to sing hymns. There's hymns in here, and you can, if you can't read music, you can go to these hymnal sites, and it'll play you the tune.
Kathy, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in St. Charles. Your thoughts, you actually have a copy of a hymnal sitting in front of you, Pastor Buteau. Your thoughts on Kathy's comment?
I think Kathy is absolutely right. I think one of the great blessings of our new hymnal, Lutheran Service Book, is that it just has an absolute ton of resources not just for worship in the church, but for worship in the home and for prayer in the home. It's, as she said, it's got very short, simple orders of daily prayer. It's got the entire catechism in it. It's got, of course, a lot of other prayers on various topics and so on. And it gives us the rich treasury of words that the church has used throughout her history to call upon her Heavenly Father. And it gives us those same words. You know, if anyone's like me, they'll realize that when I try to pray a lot on my own, I just end up sort of mumbling or repeating myself and doing that vain babbling that Jesus talks about. When I have words that are focused to the point that put on my lips the words and promises of God, why, that's very helpful.
There are some puzzling words in Luther's little morning and evening prayer here. They come in different forms, of course. In the morning, he prays these words, I pray that you would keep me this day from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. What's that about, Pastor Lehman?
Well, I think it's about two things. First of all, protecting us from all evil. I think we should take that in the way that the New Testament has it in the Lord's Prayer, to protect us from the evil one. One point I like to drive home with my parishioners is that Satan really does want to kill them, and that the only reason that we are able to continue in life is that God has restrained Satan's power, so that Satan is not able to do everything that he wants to do, because he would like to see a 6 billion person body count if he could, but the Lord does not allow that. He protects us from sin, which would kill us eternally, and from the evil one, who would like to kill us right now. And then, you know, that all my life and doings may please you. Well, if we're being protected by sin from sin, that means that our sin's being forgiven. And so, if all of our sin is being forgiven, all that remains in God's eyes is the holy deeds that he has given us to do, removed, you know, from the sin that would corrupt them otherwise. And so I think it's a prayer to live in the forgiveness of sins and to restrain Satan from harming us.
Well, and then, Pastor Smith, when you get to the evening, Luther doesn't say, I stick in my thumb and pull out a plum, what a good boy am I.
No,
he doesn't even talk about any good deeds that he's done during the day. He says, forgive me all my wrongs and my sins.
And he also goes back to that opening line, I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, our dear Son. That's the only way that we can approach God. That's the only way that we can really claim that we're doing anything that pleases him, is that we're approaching him through Christ.
And so is this the lens of these prayers, either morning or evening for Luther, that it is all encompassed in, understood in the saving work of Jesus Christ?
It's the only way we can approach God is through Jesus Christ. The only way we can please him is in Jesus Christ.
Pastor,
I'm the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing.
Luther's got this in his large catechism. We talk about the second commandment, which, of course, teaches us to use God's name. And he says, the habit of daily prayer is a blessed and useful habit and very effective against the devil. Says he is ever around us and lies in wait to bring us into sin and shame and disaster and trouble, but he hates to hear God's name and cannot remain long where it is spoken and called upon from the heart. So we begin and end the day with God's name and commend ourselves to our Lord through Jesus Christ. Man, that's just some powerful ammunition against the evil one trying to derail us.
Yeah, you can be sure that he hates to hear us recalling the promises of the baptism too. He hates to hear that divine, that Trinitarian name invoked.
Pastor Lehman, it says after the evening prayer, Luther in the little rubric there says, go to sleep at once in good cheer. And I cannot say, you know, unless there's a glass of scotch involved, I cannot say that I could go to sleep every night in good cheer. What is Luther instructing us to do here, Pastor Lehman?
Well, I don't know if prayer is supposed to be a cure to insomnia or not, but if you remember that wonderful little quote by Heiko Obermann that you read earlier, I think that what Luther is saying is, so what if you die during the night? So what if thieves enter your house and stab you while you're sleeping? It's not like that's going to hurt you. The wonderful thing about being a Christian and beginning and ending each day in the name of God is that you know that death can't even kill you. And so you can go to sleep in peace and in good cheer because the Lord has you and is going to keep you and preserve you.
I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. live this Thursday, September the 11th. Our pastor's roundtable, Pastor Charles Lehman, pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Accident, Maryland, Pastor Mark Smith, pastor of Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood, Missouri, Pastor Mark Buto, pastor of Bethel Lutheran Church in DuCoin, Illinois. We'll be right back.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Justin Omi, Patty Stroyford, Ellen Roundy, David Pratt, Christian Tews, Kay Roundy, Pastor David Disson, and Hannah Elizabeth Davies. Thanks for your support.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the Sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The American Psychological Association has come out with a report saying women who have abortions are not more likely to suffer emotionally. But Dr. Rachel McNair, a member of the association, says the report is simply a politically motivated exercise. They reviewed only one study of British women. Ironically, it shows women who have abortions are more likely to abuse drugs. Dr. McNair's concerns are shared by two other experts who reviewed the report. One is a self-identified atheist pro-choicer. This biased report has ripped out the hearts of millions of women who've experienced the tragedy of abortion and stepped on them. If you've had an abortion and need someone to talk to, contact me at lifeissues.org. I'll make it a personal priority to get you the help you need.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live this Thursday, September the 11th. We'll respond to your questions and your comments on daily prayers from Luther's Catechism. If you don't know them, you really ought to learn them. I mean, they are the kind of prayers that can sustain you, whether you're 3 years old or pushing the very end of life. They're the kind of prayers that can sustain you on a daily basis because they're firmly grounded in the word and promises of God. Before we leave the daily prayers behind and go on to the prayers of the table, we will talk about some of those words of God that underpin these prayers. Our call in number 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. All right, before we leave this behind, we know that the Lord's Prayer is drawn directly from Scripture, that the creed that Luther instructs us to use here and the name of God all come directly from Scripture, at least in their substance. This prayer that Luther writes, can you just point us, starting with you, Pastor Smith, to any places in Scripture where you hear echoes of those passages of Scripture in Luther's daily prayer here, either morning or evening?
Well, I think the favorite part to me is where it talks about, let thy holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. My congregation and I went through a whole study of angels. In fact, right now, we're using Peter Kurowski's study on the everlasting angel, the angel of the Lord. And, of course, angels are real. And my only question, and maybe there's a good reason for it, Luther says, let thy holy angel be with me. I've always understood that there could be any number of angels that are watching over us. That's and thanks to God for that, because we know that his evil angels are all around us too, as we talked about earlier. But that to me is a favorite part of that prayer.
That's a hard, I mean, that's, I guess, kind of going back to that difference between us today and Luther in his day, or the Christians in the time of the Reformation. They must have, or it seems they had a greater sense of the unseen world around them and its reality. Pastor Lehman, talk a bit about that, if you would.
I think there's a lot to that. Obermann's great book, Luther, Man Between God and the Devil, it's a great title for a biography of Luther, because it just shows us how he was constantly aware of the fact that, you know, the battles he was fighting about the gospel were, you know, it was basically Satan was trying to draw the church into hell, and through the gospel that was being preached, he was hoping to, you know, bring people to faith so that Satan would be driven away. Let thy holy angel be with me. What struck me as I was listening a moment ago was, how beautiful is it that one angel would be enough? All of hell's power could be vanquished by any one of the Lord's angels. But I think one of the places in Scripture that most closely follows, or that Luther follows in these prayers, is Psalm 22. Not Psalm 22, but the Lord's words from the cross. Into your hand I commend myself, and also the Lord's Prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father. Luther always loved to thank God for keeping his promises, and I think that's something that this prayer does, and it expects him to keep doing.
1-877-623-MY-IE or talkback@issuesetc.org. Feel free to join our pastor's roundtable as we talk about daily prayers from Luther's Small Catechism. Any final thoughts, Pastor Buteau, on Luther's prayers for morning and for evening?
I remember fondly because when we visit my grandparents, we would always end. We wouldn't get up from breakfast until we said we read our portals of prayer and prayed Luther's morning prayer, and that prayer has always had a special place in my heart. But what joy to teach it to my children and to have for them a ready prayer. As a pastor, sometimes you want to teach people to pray, of course, and encourage them in doing that. And sometimes it's very helpful to say, you know, sometimes it's hard to come up with your own prayer, so just take your kids, you know, kneel at their bedside or fold their hands and pray this prayer that's in the catechism, you know, morning or night. And what a great set of words to remind them of their baptism and God's protection over them.
Yeah, you know, I come from a little bit different perspective because I did not live in a really strong Lutheran area until I was in eighth grade. And as a result of that, I always felt a little bit gypped in that my fellow eighth grade class members, who this was a Lutheran school, they all knew the Luther's prayer. I had never learned it. And I've learned it, of course, in the ministry. And, you know, it's funny. I've got parishioners that I've used it in worship. I like to use it at Vespers, the evening prayer. And that I can tell that's very dear to them. And, you know, they always like me to – they like me to individualize it, not speak of it in a corporate way, but with the pronouns, I thank thee, my Heavenly Father. They like to keep it individual like that. That's what I've found in the ministry.
Let's talk about these other prayers that Luther commends for family and individual prayer life, and beginning with these prayers that come, like the morning and evening, they come before and after meals. It's a little funny, Pastor Lehman. He says, the children and the members of the household shall go to the table reverently, fold their hands and say, the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Then there's interspersed the Lord's Prayer, and it ends with, Lord God, Heavenly Father, bless us, and these, your gifts, which we receive from your bountiful goodness, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Very few children going to the table reverently nowadays, Pastor Lehman.
And I'm afraid that I don't do it very much either. But certainly it's good advice. To go to the table reverently is to recognize that the food that we receive has been given us by by the hand of God, and to recognize that the farmers and, you know, Hoover and our mother, our wife, whoever has prepared this food for us, you know, when they've done that, it has not been their hands that are doing it, but the Lord's hands. And so to go to the table reverently and then begin with prayer is simply to recognize where the gift comes from.
Pastor Smith, especially this quotation from Psalm 145 that Luther uses as his table prayer, we say grace or something like that, the eyes of all look to you. I started using this as a parish pastor. When they'd say, Pastor, will you say grace? How often does that happen? Before every time anyone sits down, Pastor, will you say grace? And the first time I said it, someone walked up to me and said, that was the most beautiful grace I've ever heard. Where did it come from? And I said, well, you've been a Lutheran a long time. It's right there in the back of your catechism. But it is an ideal way to receive food from God. And it is so picturesque the way that this psalm depicts these things. Talk about that, if you would.
What more can I say? I think you've said it all. It is a beautiful prayer. And the fact that all things look to him, he provides for every living thing. And certainly for us. I was going to say something along the lines, you know, it is too bad that we don't go reverently to the Lord's table. And you know as well as I do that, you know, in the family today, we all have busy schedules and we're going off to soccer practice or whatever the case may be. And very seldom do we all gather around the table and have time to eat together and to pray together and have devotions. That's really, I don't know how you change that. But it's just too bad that our culture has kind of pushed that out.
Pastor Buteau, there's a famous scene from The Simpsons where the Simpson family, which on television is one of the only family that prays, oddly enough. But the Simpson family gathers around the table and they ask Bart to say grace. And I can't remember exactly what he says, so my comic timing will be off. But he says something to like, Dear God, we paid for all this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing. That's a pretty crass way of saying, I think, what a lot of people do when they sit down at the table and don't thank God for these gifts and for all of this. How do we regain the sense that the food on the table didn't come from the grocery store? It came from God.
I think a lot of that it simply involves training ourselves to give thanks for it. And I think if we would make it a habit of actually using Luther's table blessings, we would begin to learn over time, as God's word keeps filling our ears every meal, that wait a second, this really is a gift from God. He really is opening his hand and satisfying, you know, our desires with his good gifts.
Counting our blessings.
Pastor Lehman, that sounds an awful lot like the law of prayer is the law of faith.
Yeah, I totally agree. You learn to see the world in a very, very different way. If you try to order your seeing of the world by the Lord's seeing of the world, and you know the way that he sees it by what he says in his word. And so if you are, you know, immersing yourself in the word of God by prayer and by being in the divine service and by studying his word and praying his word, then, you know, suddenly that idiot you have to work with is a person for whom Christ died, and that food that is on the table and that is absolutely delicious is something that is a direct gift from God to you, and it completely changes the way that you view everything.
10 minutes left for your phone calls and for your email on the daily prayers. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our toll-free number live this Thursday, September the 11th, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 1-877-623-MY-IE. After about 10 more minutes with our pastor's roundtable, we'll talk with Dr. Albert Mohler about the New Atheists. He's written a new book called Atheism Remix, A Christian Confronts the New Atheists. And then Dr. Christian Smith, author of the book Soul Searching, will be our guest. We'll talk about the true religious and spiritual lives of American teenagers. Stay tuned.
A On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Scott Jordan, Peter Hedgeland, Christian Preuss, Alice Kastens, Christopher Reidenauer, Michael Mann, Pastor Nathan Russert, Pastor D. Haberstock, John Gerard, and Chris Lemker. Thanks for your support.
We call devotional time in the Schwarz household Jesus time. We use a hymnal, a Bible, the catechism, and a book of prayers. I've always wanted a devotional book with all of these resources. Well, it's coming this fall. It's called Treasury of Daily Prayer. Find out about it on our homepage, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A family-friendly devotional resource, Treasury of Daily Prayer.
We're not funded by LCMS, Inc. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300.
Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Our Pastor's Roundtable, Pastor Charles Lehman, Pastor Mark Smith, and Pastor Mark Buto. 10 more minutes talking about daily prayers from Luther's Small Catechism. You can join us. Talk back at issuesetc.org or 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE. By the way, Concordia Publishing House, this, is it October already? Yeah, it's October. No, it's October next month. They got something coming out this next month on the subject of prayer that you simply must find out about. It's called Treasury of Daily Prayer. Nothing like this ever before in American Lutheranism, and I'm not exaggerating. It is a one-book resource for the family, for individual devotion. It's got everything in it, all included in a very orderly and usable fashion. It's called Treasury of Daily Prayer. It's coming out in October. You can find out about it now by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Look at the bottom of the homepage. Click the image of the book, and you'll find out more. Treasury of Daily Prayer, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. Order an advance copy for yourself, for your pastor. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Calling from St. Louis. Stuart, thank you for waiting.
Yes, hello.
What's your question or comment?
Question about Jesus' admonition, "You have not because you ask not." Luther's prayers are well-intended and well-focused and is a good example for Christians to follow. I'm wondering why we don't talk more about and teach each other more how to pray individual, special, current prayers.
Thank you very much for the question. Pastor Smith, let's deal with that passage, "You have not because you ask not." What is Jesus intending to tell us?
Well, my understanding is that God is just, he's just anxious to answer our prayers if we would just come to him in time of need. He wants us to come. Now, I know one of the guidelines as we pray is we're not to pray for frivolous, needless things. But nevertheless, I feel that some of the small things in life, if our family pet is ill, there's nothing wrong with coming to our Savior to please restore the animal. I pray about all sorts of little things. I'll tell you, I always pray, "Dear Lord Jesus, help me be a better pastor. And please protect my family, my wife and kids." Hardly a day goes by that I don't pray those
prayers.
Can't
pray that enough.
Yeah,
you
that's
really
right.
Can't ask for those things enough. Pastor Buto, the caller also talked a little bit about praying current prayers rather than just old prayers. What is the advantage of old prayers that have been around for a long time and used by so many generations of Christians?
Well, I think one of the advantages of those prayers is that those prayers are actually timeless in the sense that when we pray, say, for example, a morning prayer, we're asking for the Lord to bless us in our daily callings and to protect us from evil, and we're praying that in all sorts of situations throughout time, whether it's, you know, in Luther's day, you're praying that you don't get the plague. You know, today we might be praying that we don't die on the freeway. So in a sense, those prayers are what we might say always current, because they're always praying for things to protect us from evil, and that's constantly attacking God's people in every generation. And again, that doesn't rule out the fact that we're always at liberty in Christ to ask the Lord for anything, no matter how big or how small.
Let's talk with Ann in St. Louis. Ann, thank you for waiting.
Oh, thank you. I wanted to reflect back on when you were discussing grace, saying grace before meals. I heard a few years back, and I think it might have been on this station, that, and I wonder if it was Luther that said it, that the person that forgets to say grace is no better than a pig at a trough. And I wondered if that was attributed to Luther.
Interesting. Ann, thank you very much. Pastor Lehman, do you know of any incidents of Luther comparing the unpraying feeder to a pig at a trough?
Well, it certainly sounds like Luther. I've never heard that particular quote attributed to Luther, but I think that it's probably well reflective of what the scriptures teach. Though, you know, really, I don't think Luther had such a low view of pigs as to say that, because Luther was often talking about, for example, what do birds do before they eat in the morning? They sing a song of thanks to God that he has provided them with all that they need. And so I think Luther's view of animals might have been actually a little higher than that.
This returning thanks prayer that is probably among all the prayers that we've talked about today, the one that gets left out most often, because we may pray at the beginning of the meal, but by the time the meal's over, you got to clear the plates and wash the dishes, and everybody's got to be where they're going to be. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. He gives food to every creature. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they cry. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear him and put their hope in his unfailing love. And then he concludes, we thank you, Lord God, Heavenly Father, for all your benefits through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit forever and ever. Amen. Pastor Smith, I wanted to focus in on that God delights in those who fear him and put their hope in his unfailing love. What does it mean, delights in those who fear him? He's just quoting from Psalms here.
Well, you might have caught me flat-footed there. I think it ties in with we should fear and love God. That fear is an ominous thing. It recalls how really, you know, we're in his hands, and what a mighty God is watching over us. And you know, if he wanted to, he could squash us like a bug if he wanted to. And yet, in his grace and mercy, he's decided, you know, to show his love, to pour his love upon us, and to protect us in time of need. So it's an awesome fear. It's not just a respect, but it really is an awe that we hold for our gracious God.
Your thoughts there, Pastor Buteau?
I think whenever we're talking about those who delight in the Lord, we're first of all talking about Jesus, who always delighted in his Heavenly Father. And therefore, again, beginning with our baptism and in the day, we are those who delight in the Lord, who fear the Lord, and therefore he delights in us. He always calls us his beloved children in Jesus Christ. And again, at the end of the meal, we're saying, you know, we've enjoyed a nice meal here because we're children of God. And God, in his mercy and his blessing, has not only given us eternal salvation, he's also given us full tummies. And that's a great, great gift and blessing for which we give thanks.
On that very last point there, Pastor Lehman, maybe we don't pray as we ought, especially at the table and at other times, because we have been taught too well by American Christianity to disdain material things. Food, that's just food. That's the pleasures of the flesh. Eating and being satisfied with a good meal. That may be a guilty pleasure indeed. How do we, or if you would, please correct those misconceptions about these gifts of God.
Well, the Lord doesn't ever give his gifts in small portions. I mean, everything that he gives is everything that you need. And so we know that what he's given is what, you know, he's desired us to have. And so there's nothing wrong with thanking God for all of his benefits, whether it be the food that's on our table, our livelihood, our families. And, you know, just one other small thing. It's okay to ask God for anything. It's okay to ask God for impossible things. It's just like when the little girl goes to her dad and asks him for a pony for Christmas, even though they live in a high-rise in New York City and can't possibly have a pony. What a wonderful thing that the little girl looks to her father and expects that he can get that for her. And that's the same attitude that we should have toward the Lord, looking to him and expecting not just the good things that he's given us, but everything else too, anything we can imagine.
A final thought.
And that he may, in time, grant her an answer to that request. He may give her a pony or horse later on in life. Entirely possible.
Yeah, when she has her own place.
Right.
And maybe Dad doesn't have to buy it for her after all. Pastor Charles Lehman is pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in Accident, Maryland. Pastor Lehman, it's always a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for being our guest, and keep up the good work.
Well, thanks for having me.
Pastor Mark Smith is pastor of Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood, Missouri. Thanks for making the drive out here to Collinsville and being part of the Pastor's Roundtable.
My pleasure, Todd. I enjoy being here and wish you every blessing on your ministry here.
And Pastor Mark Buto, I said you were a first-time guest before, and because I interview so many people, I have a tendency to forget people, especially if we talked on the phone. Thank you very much for being our guest and for coming out from DuQuoin.
You're welcome, Todd.
By the way, if you want to read these prayers, learn them, make them part of your prayer life, you can find them posted at our website tonight, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. You'll find the daily prayers from Luther's Small Catechism posted on the on-demand section of our website, issuesetc.org. What is the last thing Jesus does? The very last thing Jesus does as he is hanging there dying on the cross, he prays. He says, according to one of the gospel writers, after claiming that the work is finished, he says to his father, "Father, receive my spirit," and he breathes his last. His last breath is the breath of prayer, and that is all prayer is merely the breath of faith, exhaling what God has breathed into us, this faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior. We know he hears, we know he answers only because of Jesus. When we come back, Dr. Albert Mohler and the New Atheists. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
On the St. Louis team, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know's on third.
That's what I want to find out. I want you to tell me the names of the fellas on the St. Louis team.
I'm telling you, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know's on third.
You know the fellas' names?
Yes.
Well, then who's playing first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The fellow playing first base for St. Louis.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Well, what are you asking me for?
I'm not asking you. I'm telling you who is on first.
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.